First of all, I just want to say, really, while I'm here, that I'm thankful to be here, and I want to tell the congregation, the elders, the deacons, Brian, all of you, thank you for inviting me in your neck of the woods. I have been down. I preach at a congregation in Trenton, Florida, Midway, down by Bell and Trenton, Florida. It's in the middle. That's why they call it Midway. Been down there for, 9 years and preaching the gospel of Jesus. Before there, I was in West Virginia, your neighbor state, and I was up there for 5 years. And before there, I was in the beautiful land of Tennessee for 8 years. And I'm from Ohio. So, you know what? You just go and you just do what you can do. And we're here to extol, to venerate, to tell God, thank you very much, and that's what we're going to do this week. But I would be remiss if I didn't tell you all, thank you for coming this morning, and we appreciate that. If you have any questions for anything that I speak or whatnot, I'll be, now if you go out another way, I don't know where I'm going to catch you, okay? So I don't know, maybe Brian needs to tell me, if I see you all going out here, believe me, tomorrow I'll be standing here. All right, or whichever way you guys go. But usually I just stand back there and I tell people, hey, if you have any questions or whatnot, seriously, I will answer your questions. Listen, test me. Put me to the, you know, do what you got to do. And I know everybody's different. I understand that. Guess what, brethren? The apostles were different. Guess what, brethren? Christians back on the first century, they were different. Guess what, brethren? Preachers were definitely different. So, you know what? That's just the way God has given us. All I'm asking you all is do this. You're different. You're all different. But you're the same in Him. And that's all we're asking. We're here to tell God, thank you for all you have done for us. Help us to make it from down here, as we talked in our Bible class this morning, that we will set our minds up there. You know, that's all we want to try to do. So I'll be happy to answer any of the questions you have and whatnot. Appreciate the prayers. I thought the song service was just outstanding. Communion service and the prayers this morning already. Thank you all for joining in and telling God how much we need Him. Because that's what we need. We need Him. What do people see in me? There's a question I want to pose to you. What do people see in you? That's what I'm going to ask you this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm being serious. We can talk about Christianity and how we're here to save souls and whatnot to sinners of this world. And I just want to know what people see in us, ladies and gentlemen, as you live. As you're getting ready to leave this world to the next world, what in the world are people seeing in you today? What a beautiful day. The sun here in Virginia, here it is out and whatnot. We're in here. I'm sure it's beautiful down in Florida where I'm at. And we're doing the same thing. They are there worshiping God like we are worshiping God here. People all over the world, over in Romania, 7 hours ago, they worshiped God 7 hours ago. And, you know, that's what we try to do. We try on the first day of the week. By the way, Sunday, always on the first day of the week, isn't it? That's just the way it was back then. That's the way the Bible is, and that's the way it will always be. But on this day, we set aside and we tell God, we need you. But do you know what? Every day of our lives, we need God, do we not? We need God. So I just want to ask you, I want you to do a little bit of examination of yourself. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you're not your own selves, so that Jesus Christ is in you, except you failed a test, okay? That's what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. I want to know, are you failing the test or are you winning the test? There shall not be any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. Can you believe that, Joshua? A Moses, how in the world can you fill the shoes of Moses? Joshua did. How in the world can you fulfill people's shoes? You know, there's always someone else. Ladies and gentlemen, God brings up people. He raises people. And you know what He raises people for? To glorify Him. What are we doing? What are we teaching our children, our grandchildren, the people we work with? What are we teaching our husbands, our wives? What are we teaching the congregation? We're teaching them how we need Jesus Christ. What do people see in me? That's what we want to talk about this morning. I want you follow me very quickly here. We understand it. We understand the mountain message, don't we? It's there for us. We understand the words, the rhetoric of Jesus Christ. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which art in heaven. Why do people look at me? Why are they looking at me? Well, I'm hoping people, when they see me, they don't really see me, but they see Jesus. And do you know how they see Jesus, ladies and gentlemen? It's not going to be by my looks. I understand that. But I'll tell you how it might be. It might be by what they hear. It might be by what they hear I speak. It might be what I say. It might be the things that I do with my gestures. What do people see in me? God, Jesus said, let your light shine and let it shine. Let it be refulgent. Let it be bright. Let it illuminate the people you're around, folks. What do people see in me? What effect does your Christian life, your Christian faith, have on your interactions with others? That's what I want to know. There are some people who claim Christ as Savior. Oh, yes, a drove of people. But the way they treat people, it tells a different story. I'm looking at my self-examination. I want my reflection. What do people see of me? I know none of us are perfect. I'm not saying that. I know about our flaws. I'm not saying that, you know what, we're perfect. Not at all. But our reputation outside. Now, think about this. Our reputation outside and inside the church should increasingly reflect the life of Christ within us, shouldn't it? I mean, when we come in, shouldn't people be seeing another side? I mean, truly the side that will outshine every other side? Ladies and gentlemen, people should be understanding that we are here because we are sinners. That's what you're looking at. You're looking at a sinner. Look at Mr. Allen really good. You're looking at a perfect example of a sinner, because that's what I am. But I'll tell you one thing, the amazing power of God can change a sinner into a saint. How in the world does that happen? And that's how thankful we are for this morning. Welcome, November 5th, 2017. We appreciate you. And I hope to God that you'll be edified in His name. What about when you go to a restaurant? What about shopping? What about, hey, here's a good one, a ball field. Go and support the high school. You don't even have to be at the high school. Go down to junior high and support them. You don't even have to be at the junior high. Go to the elementary and support them. Just things you hear on a ball field, it's just amazing. I mean, it befuddles me. Oh, let's just forget about the athletic fields. What about the homes? Oh, my goodness. Just go out in the foyer and to some things you can hear in the foyer, in the vestibule of churches and whatnot. You'll just stand back and you're like, oh, my goodness. But yet I'm appalled at some things I hear, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not talking about people on the outside. I'm talking about people who are on the inside. You know, I've been at several restaurants and whatnot, and I see how people, they treat their waitresses or waiter, and I just sat and I'm almost embarrassed for the person. Here they are trying to treat me and whatnot, and it's like, I wish I wasn't even there. Because I, hey, you forgot the ice. I want more ice. And you think I'm embellishing. I don't need an embellishing. I don't need to take your time. You have better things and better places to be. You are here to hear about the Word of God. I don't have time to tell stories on that fact. I'm telling you the truth of the matter. We hear people and they treat people and we just come from worshiping God and we treat other people like they're nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, what do people see in me? That's what I want to know this morning. Brethren, the church is supposed to be a witness, isn't it not? Isn't that what the scripture says? It's supposed to be a witness to the world and a haven of safety for the gathering of believers. That's why we come. What a wonderful place that we can come and we can all be edified together in Him. What a wonderful place. In fact, Christians are supposed to be a witness wherever they're at. You know, this year, anybody in here ever been to Disney World? Show of hands. Have you been to Disney World? Oh, you just love that place, don't you? You probably went to that. You know, I'll tell you when I went down there. I went this year. I've been there different times. But particularly this year, my daughter, Victoria, who just graduated last year, she said, Daddy, I want to take you to Disney World. Okay, I was like, oh, this is just great. I mean, it's hot in Florida in June, okay? Very hot. But anyway, you know why I wanted to go? I know you might like Mickey. That's okay. He's all right. I wanted to go because I like my daughter. And you know who else was my daughter? Her boyfriend, Trace. Yes, I wanted to go a lot, all right? I was included on that scenario, okay? So it was my daughter and her boyfriend, and here's Dad, the third party, all right? And just loved it when we had to get on the ride. Daddy, you come ride. Trace, yeah, I don't know how much he loved it, but anyway, it worked out. But nonetheless, okay, we went to Disney World, and I was thinking about that. You've been to Disney World, and you know how they just cater for you. I mean, they just, you know, if you don't watch out, you'll get ran over. You might get ran over by Mickey Mouse, okay, let alone everything. People are just plethora of people. They're going every which way. They're just moving. It was hot that day. I'll tell you about that day, ladies and gentlemen. I got soaking wet that day. Twice, just blast, you know, the water can rain, you know, when it rains in Florida, it rains, okay? Then the next second, it's going to be nice, all right? Soaked. It didn't bother me, Brian, because I was with my daughter. Didn't bother me at all. You know what? And I was listening to people, and there wasn't a lot of happy people there at Disney World. I think they should be happy, but after they paid the price to get in, that didn't make them happy, all right? I think they're going on vacation. They're all over the world going to Disney World. But I saw a lot of people and they weren't happy. I mean, they were just, just very, you know, it's like, but I was happy. It was pouring down rain. And Victoria said, Daddy, you want to get out of line? I was like, no, I love it. Let it rain. People looking at me, this guy is nuts. Now, I all know you don't have that impression of me, do you? Not at all. You know, take it with me out there if you want to talk to me. But ladies and gentlemen, I was thankful. And I was. I was rejoicing in the Lord. By the way, he says, always rejoice. Does he not? That's better. Yeah. Psalms 118, verse 24. Philippians 4, verse 4. Yeah, that's exactly what he says, verbatim. But nonetheless, I was rejoicing in Disney World. But there was a lot of people that weren't happy. I saw people who were fighting at Disney World. What was up with that? People, you know, you get hungry. You get a man hungry. You know, you go to buy something. Give me a water. $8. Could get you out of, you know, some things. But I want to know what the people see in me. Because I had a good test that day. I had a lot of people. I had people come up to this. You say, oh, he's patting on his own self. I don't need to do that. But I'll tell you, I had people come up and said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I took that as a compliment. You're a Christian. You know what I told them? I said, I love Jesus. I said, I'm a sinner. But I love Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, by this all men. What does that mean? By this all men will know you by that you are my disciples. If you have, you underscore that. If you have love one for another. I just want to know, ladies and gentlemen, here how it is in Virginia. How it is in Ohio. How it is in Florida. How it is in California. How it is in Indiana. I want to know how it is in Romania. I want to know how it, I just want to know how it is in Italy. I want to know, ladies and gentlemen, how is it in Austria? How is it that we love God? By this, all men will know if you have love. This is what Jesus said. He raises the bar, does he not, folks? He raises the bar. And I mean, he does raise the bar. Think about it. When Peter wrote his first letter, he explains how believers should respond to the various people in their lives. This is how we should respond. Then he wrapped it all up with these words. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, and remember, he's talking to vagabonds. He's talking to Christians who have been scattered abroad, kind of like our lives. There's people, when you're a preacher, you don't know where you're going to end up, I'll tell you. That's just the territory. But aren't you thankful that when you come together, you come and you're like, hey, this is, we're all in it for the same boat, or for the same situation. But Peter put it this way. To sum up, he said, all of you be harmonious. That's what it should be. Sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted. And you know what you need to be? You need to be humble in spirit. That pays off when you're humble in spirit. The question was posed, what do people see in me? And do you know on that day, I had a lot of people come up and say, you're a Christian. You have to. I mean, why would you be standing out in the rain rejoicing, singing songs to God? Why would you do that? You see, Paul also said in Romans 1, verse 16, and you know it very well, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, as it is written, that's where the power is. We understand that. It's in the God. It's in the gospel. It's in Him. You see, it has nothing to do with Danny Allen. You see, we are here and we're living, we're trying to learn about Him, ladies and gentlemen. But at a place like that, and I'll tell you, you go to that castle at night and you see all those different lights and how beautiful. And I was thinking, well, everybody, I'm talking about, I don't know how many thousands of thousands of thousands of people. I was just up next to my daughter, Victoria, and I'll remember this until they bury me. I loved it. I loved it. Everywhere I go on my meetings, I take someone with me. My son's with me, Jordan. He's a nice young man, freshman in high school. I'm so thankful that I can be with my son, because I know one day I won't be able to be with my son. Ladies and gentlemen, when I traveled in my times past, doing my meetings and whatnot, my other girls would do the same. They would fly with Daddy. I took that opportunity. I seized it. When I go to Romania, I've always had to take one of my family with me. Victoria went with me for the first time last year. Guess what she got? She caught chickenpox over in Romania. Oh, mercy. She won't come back with me to Romania, probably. All right? It didn't break out, but she said, Daddy, I'm itching. I should have known that when I was holding that little girl, because we don't stay in the hotels or whatnot. We stay in with the people out in the villages. It's a different story. It's a different life. And you know, they brought that little baby in, and that little baby had little red marks, and Victoria said, Daddy, I think that's chicken pox. I said, Victoria, I think I know it is. But they said it wasn't. Guess what? They were wrong. But that's okay. Because you love the people you're around. You love them. Ladies and gentlemen, what do they see in you? Here are five quick tips that will help us, and then I'm done. I'm almost done as it is. Number one, we are to live in harmony with one another. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. I know the body of Christ consists of all kinds of people with different personalities, perspectives and interests, and each one is essential. Each one of them is essential. Brethren, isn't it great to have good song leaders? Boy, what a good song leader you had today. I mean, you don't want to hear me sing solo. You don't want to hear that. So it is a good thing to have great song leaders and how we venerate our God. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure, here's what we need to do. Be sure to use them to help each other. That's the key, each other. Passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Don't grab them for yourselves. Use them for the glory of God. That's what we're here trying to do, ladies and gentlemen. Paul, he would put it this way in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. You have been called. Do you know that? You have been called, Isaiah said in Isaiah 43, verse 7. And you know why you've been called? You have been called to glorify Jesus, to glorify God, to glorify the Holy Spirit. You have been called with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent. That word diligent in the Greek means constant in application. That's what you've been called to. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and bond of peace. That's what we need to do. Number two, Peter tells us to be sympathetic. Now, that's something, it's hard, but we got to do this. This is more than just expressing words of comfort. Oh, yeah, a lot more. It means being willing to suffer with those who are hurting. As a minister, I've been there. Can I share something with you? Nearly almost 5 years ago, we were at the hospital down in Gainesville, Florida. My wife was there with me, and she was going in for a checkup. Some things were not going as well. So I'll make this just in a way. And the doctor was very concerned. And they diagnosed my wife back then with stage 4 breast cancer. And it wasn't good. So we asked if we could have a room. We both just went to that room and we cried. Cried. You know, they didn't give my wife too many days to live. When you see the tears of your wife flow down, that's pretty tough. Me and my wife have been married for 32 years. And I do tell people, we're still on our honeymoon. And God has given me this extra 5 years to be on my honeymoon with my sweetie. I call her my little bluebird. You know why I think she's living? We talked about prayer in our Bible class, did we not? We did. There's people all over the world praying for my precious, beautiful little wife. And I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for every day that I have with her. Every day. And I know it's even a better day when you die in the arms of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are with brothers and sisters who are hurting and they've been through, it gives me a whole other perspective of breast surgery, or breast cancer, or prostate cancer. Or you can name whatever cancer you want to name, because it's a very deadly virus. But I tell you what, there's power in prayer. You be with your brothers and sisters you're hurting and let them know how much you love them. I didn't say you had to give them money. I said you just let them know how much you love them. You see, people don't understand my paradigm, and I might not understand theirs, but I know who does. His name is God. Room 5020, Jay Bufton. Follow me. He turned his hospital room into a lighthouse. The 52-year-old husband, father of a high school teacher and a coach, was dying of cancer. But his room, 5020, it became a beacon of hope for friends, family, and hospital workers. Because of his joyful attitude and strong faith, nurses wanted to be assigned to Jay. Usually nurses want to be away from you, but they wanted to come to Jay. Some even came to see him during their off hours. Even as his once athletic body was wasting away, he greeted everyone and everyone with a smile and encouragement. Shouldn't that be the body of Christ? We should greet people. One friend said, every time I visited Jay, he was upbeat, positive, and filled with hope. He was, even while looking cancer and death in the face, living out the faith. He just had that. Something about him, ladies and gentlemen. You know, at Jay's funeral, one speaker noted that room 5020 had a special meaning. He pointed to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, in which Joseph said that although his brothers sold him into slavery, God turned the tables and accomplished something good. You know what that accomplished was? The saving of many souls. You see, we all have our different stories we can tell. But how are you living in that story that tells the story? Ladies and gentlemen, cancer invaded Jay's life, but by recognizing God's hand at work, Jay could say that God intended it for good. That's why Jay could use even the ravages of cancer, that virus, as an open door to tell people about Jesus. Friends, this requires a self-sacrificial attitude. You see, attitude means the way you think, the way you feel, the way you act. That's what Mr. Webster said, and he was right. We come alongside them in their need and pain to help bear the burden. That's what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. That's what we're supposed to do. We much rather rejoice with those who rejoice than weep with those who weep, Romans 12 verse 15. But sympathy is all over the Scriptures. And when it's all over the Scriptures, we better pay close to it. It wasn't happenstance. It was the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. Number three, we need brotherly love. In Romans 12 and verse 10, the Bible says, describes this as a devotion. It's almost like, think about it. It is a devotion to one another as if we were in the same family. Well, I have this to post to you. Aren't we supposed to be in the same family? Isn't it supposed to be the same family? I think so. You see, some people, when you tell them the truth, they want to run from it. Or maybe they just want to run from me. Maybe that's what it is, y'all. I don't know. But I'll tell you something about the truth. You can't run from the truth, because the truth will cut you in two. You see, we know that because the writer said that in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, didn't he? Because it's sharp, and it's quick, and it's powerful, and it's going to cut. Ladies and gentlemen, brethren, that is exactly what the Christians are, members of God's household. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, would you like to turn there with me, please? Remember how he said it? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. You don't need this. You already know about this. For you yourself are taught of God to love one another. Now watch verse 10. And indeed you do it towards all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we will beseech, we will beg, we will edify, we will encourage you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Now don't miss this. You do that more and more. Don't miss that point. You know what? We can't get stalemated with this. We can't get monotone with this. We can't get lethargic with this. We need to do it more and more. And you know what? Paul saw that. And Paul said, you Macedonian brethren, I'll tell you, let me tell you about that. Because there was some times when that brother, he needed some help. And guess what? They came to his help. Physically, mentally, financially, they helped that brother. I've had people, when I go to Romania, people from all over help me. I've had people come up and give me a dollar, little girls, little boys, here's a dollar. You know what? A dollar goes a long way in Romania. But even more than that, when they prayed for our trips, that's help, ladies and gentlemen. Our responsibility is to practice and excel in loving our fellow believers, not just the ones we like, but all of them. I don't pick and choose as being a Christian. I said all of them, ladies and gentlemen. We need to love all of them. You see, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them which curse you. Do good unto them which hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You see what that verse says? It says love, bless, do good, and pray. Not some of them, all of them, Jesus said. Our common bond is not our interests, personalities, or preferences, but the oneness we have with each other in the Godhead. You see, in John 17 and verse 21, Jesus, you know what he said? It's like a Godhead thing. It's you got them all. You don't got one. When you become a child of God, you get all three. The unity, the Godhead, the divinity. I don't even have the words to venerate. The rhetoric, I don't have the words. But I'll tell you one thing, it's good. It's very good. We love one another. And that's what we need to do. We need to love one another. We need to show God how great God is by one another. What a force to be reckoned with. You got one person who prays. Imagine when you have a whole congregation that prays. It's like nothing I've ever seen in this world. Number four, we need to be kind-hearted. This is the opposite of being harsh, insensitive, self-centered, and uncaring. No, it's the total opposite, according to what Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. We need to be kind-hearted one to another. You know how that's done? Brotherly love. Learn to say kind things. Nobody ever resents them. Think about it. Heavenly Father, it's easy to fall into the bad habits of saying whatever I please. But have this attitude. Give me the love and kindness of Jesus. Jesus, help me to be a giver, not always a taker. In our interactions, we should seek to do good to others. Treat them graciously, and not hold grudges. And then finally, number five, we must be humble in spirit. In Luke 18 and verse 14, the Bible says, if you humble yourself, you shall be exalted. You know, I need to learn that. I need to learn that very well. We all know what pride does to relationships. It's never good. Instead of focusing on ourselves, we put others first and we consider them, they're more important. That's what we said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. They're more important. You see, you want to know the mind of Christ? There it is. The mind of Christ on the cross, we just witnessed it. We just gathered around the table. You saw the mind of Christ. You know what that mind of Christ was? You're more important than me. How is that? Because that's the love of God. Our goal is not to receive the credit for whatever we do, but to serve Christ, but to serve Jesus Christ by serving others. Ladies and gentlemen, it can be done and it will be done if we walk in the Spirit. You see, our mindset is this: all I have is yours. It's yours, God. Everything. I just heard a brother pray how blessed we are, and he was absolutely right. But you know what we do, God? We share. That's what a servant is. Share. Brethren, rather than leaving a trail of criticism, I don't want that. Dissension, I don't want that. Disharmony, I don't want that. In our wake, we must seek to pave a pathway of reconciliation and peace. That's what I want. That's what I want. In fact, that's how we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and reflect Christ like this in our attitudes, in our words, and our actions. That's what I want people to see. Believers should be known as peacemakers, not troublemakers. And the only way you're going to do that is you're going to give glory to God. That little heart of yours, it's going to grow. Your heart's going to grow, it's going to grow, and it's going to grow. That's how we live, because we give our heart. When I talk about giving our heart, I'm talking about our mind. We're giving it to God, ladies and gentlemen. We're giving it to God. So recap is simply this. Number one, we are to live in harmony with one another. What do people see in me? Do they see that? Number two, Peter tells us to be sympathetic. That's what I need. Number three, we need brotherly love. Number four, we need to be kind-hearted. And number five, we must be humbled in spirit. The only way you're going to get that, Galatians 5:16, Galatians 5:22 and 23, you need to walk in the Spirit. That's the only way you're going to get it. Because in verse 25 of Galatians chapter 5, it says, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. You see, Jesus taught us how to serve others. And I leave you with this. How are you doing? How am I doing? Is it a show? Is it just a show? Because I got this part down. I do this a lot. Oh, I can make you laugh or I can make you cry. But you see, it's not about that. And some people say, oh, I like this guy. Some people say, get that guy out of town. That's okay. You're not hurting me. Because I'm going to give God the glory. And I'm going to tell God, God, I need you. And I'll tell him right now, God, on this day, I need you. Because I'll tell you, without God, you're seeing a man that couldn't make it in this world. With what I'm going through, I can't make it. But by his grace and by his power and by him, he has opened the door up, and this man could go anywhere he wanted to and preach the gospel of Jesus. And it's not by my ability. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, help me to humble me and to give him the glory. Anybody here need God this morning? Surely not in this fine audience. Surely you all are just too good. You're on it. Look good. Look good on the outside. Can't see you on the inside. But I know somebody who can. Please don't leave this building. Get a gut check. We might say in our rhetoric, moxie, M-O-X-I-E. But go ahead and get a check here. Don't leave the building. If you need God, why not come forward? Any of us would help you. Any of us would help you. Maybe you've been baptized into Jesus Christ. What do people see in you right now? You need to get your life right. For God's sake, if Jesus could go to that cross and died for you, for God's sake, if Paul could go through what he went through, can't we get our life right with Christ? He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verse 16. We want you to love God. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. We want you to love God. If you have done that, do you still love God? A brother showed me Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Are you still loving Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? You think about that, folks. Thank you for being here. You've been a great audience. Thank you. If you love God, give it to God. Please come as we stand, as we sing.